Today I'll be reading primarily from this truly great book called Radharani. Some of you may have it. Some of you may want to get it. It's just about everything I would want to know about Srimad Radharani and then some. It was written by Bhakti Purushottama Swami, ISKCON Guru, and very well written, very well researched. So, of course, it is so large it would take 2 or 3 days to finish it. So I've selected certain important passages here, which I hope we will all relish and delight in and be more filled with or motivated with the desire to serve Srimati Radharani, love Srimati Radharani, surrender to Srimati Radharani, and love Srimati Radharani. That is the only goal of a class of this sort, and I pray to Srila Prabhupada, to all our great deities, and to all the devotees assembled here, that they may give me their prayers so that that may be accomplished. For it is by the prayers, by the association and love of the devotees that I can accomplish anything of any value for everyone here. So thank you so much in advance. Again, the name of this book is Radharani, and I will begin with chapter 1, the philosophical aspect of who is Srimati Radharani. If I can get the light focused well, if I can. Oh, here we go. People in general do not know about Radharani. Radha Tattva, Tattva means the truth. The truth about Radha is a very confidential subject matter, which is hidden even from the Vedas. As a result, there are many misconceptions, or no conceptions at all, about Radharani. Srila Prabhupada says, the two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The description of Radha and Krishna from the diaries of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. So I just read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 456 purport. Radharani is not some ordinary lady, or even some special lady of this material world with whom Lord Krishna was having his pastimes. She is the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord, rendering service unto him eternally in the material and spiritual realms. In his book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has explained about Radharani by quoting a verse from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. Which is as follows. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus, they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. So Radharani is the feminine aspect of Krishna, and that will be explained as follows. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. If you take the heat away, there's no fire. If you take the fire away, there's no heat. So they're inseparable. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna. And she eternally, this is a very important point, she eternally intensifies, she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. That's the devotee on the highest level of God realization. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan, therefore, seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. That was from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila 455-56. Radharani is a manifestation of Krishna's love. Sri Radha is Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna. Krishna is energetic, and Radha is what? The energy, yes. So there's the energy and the energetic, just as you have the sunshine and the sun. Radha and Krishna are one Atma in the sense that they are Shakti and Shaktiman, energy and energetic. Even though they are one Atma, still, from time immemorial, they have manifested in two different forms in Goloka Vrindavan to do what? To enjoy pastimes, sweet pastimes. Svayam Bhagavan Krishna has unlimited potencies categorized in three divisions. The internal potency, or Antaranga Shakti, the external potency, or Bahiranga Shakti, and the marginal potency, or Tatastha Shakti. The marginal potency is Jiva Shakti. That's all of us here. The external energy is the energy by which this material world is manifested, maintained, and annihilated. The internal potency is his potency by which he maintains his spiritual world. So now we'll go into the details of this internal potency. The internal potency, which is known as Svarup Shakti or Chit Shakti, has three aspects, and this is most important. Sandini Shakti is his aspect of eternal existence. The Lord's existential potency by which he maintains his existence. The essential portion of the Sandini potency is Suddha Shattva. Suddha Shattva means pure devotee. Sattva means pure, and Suddha Sattva, pure devotee. Sattva simply means pure. Excuse me. Sattva simply means goodness. So this means pure goodness. Lord Krishna's existence rests upon it. Krishna's mother, father, abode, houses, bedding, seats, and so on are all transformations of Sudha Sattva, pure goodness. Samvat Shakti is his aspect of cognizance or cognitive potency, which is also accepted as knowledge, by which potency the Lord knows himself and causes others, like us, to know him. The essence of the Samvit potency is knowledge. So we have existence, we have knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. Ladini Shakti is his aspect of bliss, by which the Lord gets pleasure, and devotees are nourished by this. By this, he possesses transcendental bliss and causes his devotees to experience bliss. That's the Ladini Shakti. Now we will discuss particularly about Ladini Shakti. The essence of Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotional bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is maha bhava. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of maha bhava. That means the highest or the quintessence of pure love of God. There is no one higher, greater, bigger, better, purer than her love. She is the repository or storehouse of all good qualities and the crest jewel among the lovely consorts, or like the gopis, of Lord Krishna. A crest jewel means the top, like on when you have a crown, the crest jewel is the top jewel. So she is the topmost jewel. Then there are little lower jewels which go around. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, spiritual energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. So this has a purport. Srimati Radharani is fully spiritual. Srimati Radharani is as fully spiritual as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls who have material bodies, gross and subtle bodies, covered by material senses. No, she is all spiritual, and both her body and her mind are of the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. That means that she can only desire Krishna. When a person's senses have become totally, completely spiritualized, then your attraction has to be to Krishna. Most of us born in the material world, our senses are attracted to matter or material things. But as we go through or practice the process of purification, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with devotees, worshipping the deity, living in the holy dham, glorifying the Lord, worshipping the spiritual master, as we do that, a purification takes place. And that purification that takes place gradually results in having pure senses. Pure senses means that all we want to do with our eyes is look at Krishna, with our ears hear about Krishna, with our tongue taste Krishna prasadam, with our skin touch things connected with Krishna, and with our nose smell flowers which have been offered to Krishna. So who can name that great king who practiced all of these which I've just mentioned? King Ambarish, yes. King Ambarish was a king, and yet he was a master of all of this. So our focus has to be to gradually, slowly, but surely purify the senses. And by doing the things that I just mentioned, the senses automatically become purified. Thus, our body, mind, and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is the personified Ladini Shakti. That's an important point. Remember, the Ladini Shakti is a potency. But that potency, when it takes bodily form, human form, it manifests as who? Come on. Yes, Srimati Radharani. She is Ladini potency personified. The pleasure-giving energy of the Lord's internal potency, and therefore, she is the only source of enjoyment for Krishna. And what about the other gopis? Well, they are her expansions, so Krishna enjoys them as well. Sri Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. That means spiritual. Therefore, Radha and Krishna are identical in that sense. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency has manifested the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna. And the same internal potency in his Ladini feature, pleasure-giving feature, has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive Krishna. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddess of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Braja, who are the foremost of all. These consorts — consort can mean wife, and it can also mean a very close girlfriend. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. Just as the fountainhead Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Radha is the cause of all these consorts. All these gopis, all these great spiritual persons that I've just mentioned, such as the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Russia, are all manifestations of Sri Radha. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. Lord Krishna controls and enchants the whole world. He is all attractive, and yet Srimati Radharani, she enchants Krishna by the depth, sincerity, purity, surrender of her love. Okay? Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of his consorts. And Brihad Gotamiya Tantra, it has been stated, quote, "The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna." Does everybody know what a counterpart is? A counterpart is like a copy or a duplicate or someone who resembles something similar. Okay? So, she is the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. Thus, Radha and Lord Krishna are one. They have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Ladini. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. So just to summarize just this point, when Krishna wants, first of all, Krishna has the three potencies I have mentioned: the Ladini, Samvit, and Sandini. Now, when Krishna, therefore Krishna, being possessed of Ladini, is always blissful. He's always joyful. But when he wants to increase his pleasure, increase his joy, he needs a partner. And that partner he gets from himself. He manifests this Ladini potency, which is embodied by Srimati Radharani. That pleasure-giving potency knows exactly how to please Krishna as no one else can. That is why it is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is considered the topmost. And that is because she, more than any of the other gopis, knows how to give pleasure to Krishna as none of the others can. The others give pleasure to Krishna, but because she has this special knowledge, she is Krishna's pleasure-giving potency. She knows how to sing for Krishna. She knows how to dance for Krishna. She knows how to cook for Krishna. She knows how to tell stories for Krishna. She knows how to glance at Krishna in a way that will excite his interest. She knows how to speak to Krishna. She knows how to walk in such a way that Krishna will be dazzled. She has all those attributes and manifests them as beautiful qualities in form. Okay? So the Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. So now we will go to the next part. Will be... Yes, this one little summarizing point I'd like to make. Among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in what? What is her chief quality? Love. She can love Krishna in ways which none of the others can. All the others love Krishna, but her quality of love, her intensity of love, her submissiveness in her love to Krishna is peerless. In this regard, it is said, just as Radha is dear to Lord Krishna, so her bathing place, Radhakund, is dear to him. She alone is his most beloved of all the gopis. How many of us here have been to Radhakund? Oh, wonderful. Did you take a little of the water and put it on your head? That's very blessed, very transcendental. Lord Krishna himself has said, O Partha, Arjuna, in all the three planetary systems, this earth is especially fortunate, for on earth is the town of Vrindavan. And there the gopis are especially glorious because among them is my Srimati Radharani. That's from the Adi Purana, and it's cited in Adi Leela 4:2-16. Yes. So, the next point, Radharani's name in the Bhagavatam. Some of us may be wondering why her name does not appear in the Bhagavatam. She's never called Radha, but it is mentioned by our acharyas that when Krishna, during the first Rasa-lila night, he was dancing with all the gopis, but he took one of the gopis aside and then went into the forest with her to enjoy further personal pastimes with her, and that gopi was Radharani. So it mentioned that Srimati Radharani's name is not directly mentioned in Bhagavatam, and thus it is often found that unfortunate people do not accept her. You know, they say, well, her name is not in the Bhagavatam, why is she so important? But Gaudiya Acharyas have given different reasons for why Srimati Radharani's name is only mentioned indirectly. In this regard, Srila Sanatana Goswami, in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, has mentioned, Maharaj Pariksit told his mother Uttara, O mother, my Guru Dev, Srila Sukhdev Goswami, has not been able to mention the name of any gopis when he was describing Srimad Bhagavatam. The reason for that is, if he would pronounce the name of any gopi, then in their remembrance, he would feel acute burning love, and thus he would feel very much ecstasy, which would make his throat choked up and make him unable to recite the Bhagavatam. Thus, it would not be possible for him to continue recitation of Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Katha would be disrupted. That's why during the description of the different pastimes like Rasa Leela, though he has explained their great mood of love, he did not mention anyone's name. Srila Shukdev Goswami tried his best to not mention any gopi's name. But still, he could not control himself, and as a result, at one point, he indirectly mentioned her name. When Sri Krishna disappeared from the Rasa-lila, all the gopis were searching for him. At one point, they saw the footprint of one gopi along with the footprint of Sri Krishna. The gopis said, "Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place." In this verse, Srila Shukdev Goswami has used the word Anya Aradita. In this word, Aradita, Radita, Radita, Radha, Shukdev has mentioned the name of Radha indirectly. So he didn't get overwhelmed with bliss, although he did feel bliss in just thinking about Radha. So now we go to the next point. So now I will be going to the point on Srimati Radharani's appearance in this material world. There are a number of different stories, but I will read the one here in this book. There are actually more in this book. But the third description of the appearance of Srimati Radharani is told as follows. Once King Vrishabhanu is Srimati Radharani's father, he's a king, was immersed in the waters of the Yamuna, meditating upon the Lord. Suddenly, a 1,000-petaled lotus flower came floating towards him and touched his body. When he opened his eyes, he saw the most beautiful, molten gold-colored girl lying on the lotus and moving her hands and legs. As the king had no child, he was very happy to receive this girl. He brought her to his palace and gave her to his wife, Kirtida. Thus, Srimati Radharani appeared in the earthly home of her eternal parents, Kirtida Sundari and Maharaj Vrishabhanu. The color of Srimati Radharani's body. The bodily color of Srimati Radharani is like new Gorachana, or like molten gold, or lightning in its static form. By the way, a name Radha means lightning. It also means success. Radha means success, and Radha means lightning. Gold or lightning in its static form. The form of Radharani is supremely radiant and effulgent due to her apurva rupa madhurya. The sweetness of her beauty is ever increasing so that she always looks more beautiful than before. Each day, she looks so much more beautiful as if she was never as beautiful before. Her bodily color is like gold, melted by fire thousands of times, and which has thus become very effulgent. At the same time, with her beloved Sri Krishna, Sri Radhika becomes more effulgent and radiant. By her golden effulgence, even trees, creepers, birds, and leaves in the forest are tinged with a golden hue. Srimati Radharani's bodily complexion is such an intense golden color that when she stands next to Krishna, his bodily color also becomes golden. So he's blackish golden. Okay? Now, Srimati Radharani has 25 particular qualities. Those qualities, by the way, if you want to gaze at them or study them or look at them, at the back of the room on the left-hand side looking out, you'll see like a chart. And it has all the 25 qualities that I will be reading now. So in case, I know when I read these, some of them you will remember and some of them we may not remember. So to refresh your memory, just go to that chart there. It's exactly what I'm reading. So, Srimati Radharani has unlimited transcendental qualities, of which 25 qualities are principal. Again, unlimited. Sri Krishna is controlled by these transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. She is very sweet, one. Two, she is always freshly youthful. Three, having restless eyes, her eyes are restless. Four, she smiles brightly. Five, she possesses beautiful, auspicious lines on her body. Six, she makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma. Seven, she is very expert in singing. Eight, her speech is charming. Nine, she is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. 10, she is very humble and meek. Excuse me. 9. She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly. 10. She is very humble and meek. 11. She is always full of mercy. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. Not like a materialistic lady, but it's transcendental. All for the purpose of making Krishna happier and happier. He's always happy, but she makes him happier. She is expert in executing her duties. She is 14, she is shy. 15, she is always respectful. 16, she is always calm. 17, she is always grave. 18, she is expert in enjoying life. 19, she is situated in the topmost level of ecstatic love, or Mahabhav. 20, she is situated, this is repeated, there must be some difference in it, but it's not given here. She is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love. 21, she is the most famous of submissive devotees. That means whatever Krishna wants, she will do. If it means her life, she will give it, as long as it will give pleasure to Krishna. And in the pastime that I will be narrating in a little while, we will see how that is in manifestation. 22, she is very affectionate to elderly people. 23, she is very submissive to the love of her friends. 24, she is the chief gopi. 25, she always keeps Krishna under her control. So those are the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani. Now we will go to a very, very fascinating pastime, which I will read. Some of us already know it, but it's given in detail here, and that's why I'm reading it, because quite often when it is given in some of the classes, I find that many of the details are missing. So, I will begin now. Once Narada Muni went to Dwarka to meet with Sri Krishna. There he found Krishna suffering from a headache. Sri Krishna told Narada, who's called Devarishi, "Devarishi, today I am suffering from a severe headache. If I do not get the proper medicine before sunset, then my life will be at risk." Devarishi Narada became worried to hear this. He asked Krishna, "My Lord, please let me know what kind of medicine you need to be cured. However difficult it may be, I will get the medicine for you." Krishna said, "I need the dust from the lotus feet of my devotees. If I put this dust on my head, I will be cured." Narada said, "I need the dust from..." Excuse me. Narada said, "Dear Krishna, this is no difficulty at all. You have unlimited devotees all over the unlimited universes." Confident of the ease of his mission, Narad Muni went straight to Krishna's queen's, Rukmini Devi, and informed her of Krishna's request. Narada said, "Krishna is suffering from a headache, and the only cure is the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. Please, O Rukmini Devi, immediately give me the dust from your feet, and I shall return to Krishna at once." Rukmini replied, "O Devarishi, it is a matter of great concern that our husband is suffering from a headache, but how can I give him the dust of my feet to put on the head of my husband? This is adharma, unrighteous. He is my lord. I cannot give the dust of my feet to put on my lord's head. I will suffer in hell if a particle of dust from my feet touches the head of my lord, Sri Krishna." Then Narad Muni went to all the other queens, including Satyabhama, but none of them would give the dust of their feet for the same reason. Narad Muni went all over the universes to all devotees, including Brahma and Shiva, but no one would dare to give the dust from their feet to put on Krishna's head. They were all afraid of going to hell. Sri Krishna is Param Brahma, they reasoned. How can one give the dust of his feet to place on Krishna's head? It was unthinkable. Narada returned to Dwarka, unsuccessful in his attempts. When Krishna came to know from Narada that no one would give the dust from his feet, Krishna said, "Did you ask the Vraja Gopis, the Vrindavan Gopis?" Narada replied, "No, I've gone everywhere except Vraja." Krishna said, "Then please go to Vrindavan and tell the gopis of my need." Immediately, Narad Muni went to Vrindavan. There on the banks of the Yamuna River, he saw Radharani surrounded by her sakis, her friends. With their faces turned in the direction of Dwarka, they were all crying in separation from their beloved Krishna. When they saw Narad Muni, they became very happy. Wiping the tears from their eyes, they greeted Narada and said, "Oh, Devarishi, you must be coming from Dwarka. Please tell us how our beloved Sri Krishna is. Is everything auspicious with him?" Narad Muni replied, "My Lord Sri Krishna is suffering from a severe headache since early morning." The gopis were immediately alarmed. "Oh, no. But tell us, how can this be cured? Did he send you here to the forests of Vrindavan to find some herbs, some medicine? What has Shyamasundara asked for? Let us find it for you at once." Narada said, "Yes, my Lord has said if he can get the dust from the feet of his devotees, that will be the real medicine for him." But it went to all his devotees all over the universe, and none agreed to give the dust of their feet. Oh, gopis of Raj, if Krishna does not receive this medicine by sunset, his life will be at risk. Srimati Radharani said, Devashi nodded. What kind of devotees are we? We are not great devotees of the Lord. Still, if he has mercifully considered us as his devotees, then immediately we are ready to give the dust of our feet. But how will you carry it? Narada said, I will carry it with great devotion. Immediately, Radharani collected the dust of her feet and gave it to Narad Muni. Thus encouraged by their dear most Sakhi, all the gopis then gave the dust of their feet. Narada was surprised that the gopis so willingly gave their foot dust for Sri Krishna's head. He thought to himself, well, these are simple cowherd girls who surely do not know the reaction they will incur when the dust of their feet touches the head of Lord Sri Krishna. He said to the gopis, Dear Vrajagopikas, are you aware of whom you are giving the dust of your feet to? Lord Krishna is worshipped by all the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva, and great yogis and rishis are meditating on his lotus feet. Even these great personalities did not dare to give the dust from their feet for the head of Lord Krishna. They know the reaction is that they must go to hell. Do you know you will suffer this reaction? With one voice, the gopis replied, Yes, we know of this strange arrangement. If by giving this cure for Krishna's headache, we will have to suffer in hell eternally, then we will happily make this special contract with Yamaraj and go to Yamaloka. In exchange, we simply want to see that our most beloved, who is our life's breath, become cured from his headache. His happiness is our life. Our satisfaction is to see Krishna always happy. If we must go to hell, we do not know any pleasure other than the pleasure of Sri Krishna. What does it matter if we go to hell? We have anyway offered our very lives to Krishna, but now we must not waste any more time discussing this. You should go immediately to Dwarka and give this dust to our beloved Krishna. Narada Muni immediately left for Dwarka, carrying the foot dust of the gopis on his head. He was in great ecstasy to be carrying the rare treasure. When Narada reached Dwarka, Krishna smiled and said, Narada, you have brought the foot dust of the gopis. Now my disease is cured. Just see, Narada, you consider yourself a great devotee of mine. Why could you not give the dust of your feet at the beginning? However, this has taught you one thing. Now you should know, these gopis of Vrindavan are my greatest devotees. They have given me their life, their life, their life. So that is the end of the pastime, and that is, we can learn so much from it. Here, all of these sophisticated devotees were thinking in terms of the scriptures, that, you know, if we give them the dust, then we'll go to hell. But the gopis couldn't care less about going to hell. They were willing to fry a million times in hell as long as Krishna was cured, Krishna was pleased, Krishna's headache went away, Krishna was happy. And that is what our aspiration has to be. We have to aspire to want to give up the life, give up our body, give up our mind, give up our feelings, give up our intelligence for no other reason than to give pleasure to Krishna. And that is the sum and substance of bhakti yoga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Maharaj. That was a beautiful reading. Just one question about just something you just read at the end there. Was the reason Narada Muni didn't give the dust from his feet because he was afraid, like the queens of Dwarka, that he would go to hell as a result of that? Or was it because he didn't consider himself a devotee?
Well, that's implied here at the last thing that I read. Krishna was sort of chastising him. You're a devotee, and why didn't you give the dust? Basically, he said. And that's implied that, well, of course, he didn't want to go to hell, you see. But it's not stated exactly.
Okay.
There are other possibilities there. He may have already known what Krishna's angle was, that he wanted to show that these unsophisticated, unpolished village girls knew more about bhakti than everyone else who was supposed to be learned in the shastras. They were not learned in the sense that they were not reading the Vedas. But they got the Vedas from the Brahmins, they got it from Krishna, they got it from so many sources. But the most important thing is they applied it. They utilized it to the benefit of their beloved Lord Krishna, and of course to their benefit, which meant that they became even more in love with Krishna because Krishna gave in more blessings, more, they drowned them in more ecstasy so that they could feel his holy presence even more palpably.
Jai, okay. Thank you.
Yes, any other questions? Any other? You have a question? Yeah? Well, he gives the microphone. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna. How can we pray to Srimati Radharani? So
what
she,
is that?
How can we pray in, to Srimati Radharani in the way that she can bless us and help us in our spiritual
How do we pray
lives?
To her? Is
yeah.
that the question?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing it every day. And I'll explain. When we say Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare is the called the vocative mood of Hara, and Hara means Radharani. So the meaning of the of the mantra is, my dear spiritual energy, my dear Srimati Radharani. That's what you're saying. You're not meant. Her name is Hara. So you're saying, my dear Hara, my dear Srimati Radharani, my dear spiritual energy. Please engage me in Krishna's, the all-attractive, and Rama's, the all-pleasurable, transcendental loving service. So that's what we are, in effect, asking. Please engage me in your service. And Srimati Radharani knows perfectly what kind of service we should be engaged in. And if she has any doubt, she can ask Krishna. He goes, he's all-knowing. So that's the best prayer. And if you understand what you're chanting, instead of just, So that's not it. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're praying. We're begging. We're crying out. We're entreating. Oh, my dear Radharani, please engage me in your beloved Krishna's service. And by that service, we too, as you have become, we will become more serviceable, more loving, more surrendered to Krishna. So that's the whole idea. It's a very simple. But of course, there are other prayers that one may pray to Srimati Radharani. Let us say you're having a problem getting up in the morning. And you've tried and you tried. You go to bed a little earlier and still you can't get up and so forth. So finally, you've prayed to Krishna for a month and you're still not getting up early. So you go to Srimati Radharani. My dear Srimati Radharani, I can't get up. I can't get up at 4 o'clock. I open my eyes and I fall back to sleep. This is my situation. So I fall back into sleep. So what can I do? Please help me. Open my eyes and open my mind. Give me vitality. Give me vigor. Give me energy. Give me zest so that I can go forth to the morning program. Take my shower. Jump up and down. Please help me. So she can give her blessings. And if she gives you her blessings, you'll be jumping out of bed. You'll not be rolling out or lazily getting out, but you'll be really up and doing. I know I'm talking from some experience. Yeah. So she is ready to give help if we ask her. She is very soft-hearted. And sometimes Krishna deliberately doesn't give his blessings so that we go to her and see how great she is. Or sometimes she will, if it's something that only Krishna can do, then she will beg Krishna, please, this devotee, he's so sweet, so kind, so submissive, so loving. Please grant him what he's asking. It's a spiritual request. Why are you denying him? All right, I'll give him. He listens to her because he's controlled by her. By her what? Her love. Her love. And that love is something we should aspire after. Although nobody can be equal to her, we could all be growing closer and closer to her. Okay? Is that any other question? Yes? No? Is that it? I'm giving you three seconds. One, Hare Krishna. Two, Hare Krishna. No hands going up. Three, Hare Krishna. Oh, I see a hand jumped up, of course. Prem Sankirtan. Yes, please come close, Prabhu. Yeah,
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes that's
class.
A problem with your accent.
Krishna is all-knowing. And
what is that?
Krishna.
Yeah.
Is all-knowing.
He's alone?
All-knowing. Knowing.
I'm not
no,
sure.
He know
the
everything.
Word.
All-knowing.
Can you tell me? All-knowing. All-knowing, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So Radharani, he created Radharani. So he should know these three reasons why is, you know, Srimati Radharani has so much love for him, these three reasons why he appeared like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So is it he just makes show then he don't know about these three reasons to appear like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or he know that from in the first place? Or is just his pastimes? This is why he appeared like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He does. He knows, but externally. When you say the three reasons, I didn't give those three reasons. They are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But you are referring to what Prabhu here is referring to. Is there are three reasons why Krishna manifests himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is where Krishna reunites with his Ladini potency. So Lord Chaitanya, although in a male body, manifests the female emotions of Radharani. For the prime reason that he wants to know what Srimati Radharani's love feels like. He knows what it feels like to be loved, but what does it feel like to have that love? So he has to be her. He has to have her feelings to know that. Second of all, Srimati Radharani tastes a sweetness from Krishna that only a lover of Krishna can taste. She knows that sweetness. And Krishna wants to know, what does my sweetness taste like to Srimati Radharani? So in order to know that, he has to be in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And that's what happened. Lord Chaitanya tasted his own sweetness. And third, but not least, what does Srimati Radharani's bliss, what does it feel like? What is she experiencing? So, again, Lord Krishna, he has his bliss, which he gets from the service of Srimati Radharani. But he wants to know what her bliss is like, which she gets from all the things he does, the way he looks at her, the way he smiles at her, the way he dances, the way he speaks. She gets a certain kind of bliss, which he doesn't get, because his bliss is separate and it's individualized for him. So in order for him to know what her bliss is like, he has to be in her mood, her sentiments, her feelings, and that's why he manifests himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had to have that experience, although he knows about it from an observational point of view, not from an experiential point of view. Okay? He needs to experience it. So I think we'll end it at this point. Thank you all very much for coming. I give you my greatest, best wishes that everyone may be blissed out on Srimati Radharani today, engaged in her service, engaged in the service of Krishna. All glories to Srimati Radharani ki. Yeah. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna ki. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
knows that she's having an extremely blissful experience. He doesn't know what it tastes like. He has to be. No, but you're not understanding.
Yeah,
not necessarily he's God. He's not his God. But he doesn't have her experience. I'm trying to bring that point. If he didn't, he wouldn't come as well. She's got to go out for food. He doesn't have that experience. He sees him. And because he sees him,
Mm-hmm. Thank you.